You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by Harrison Fagan. He is back at the day spa. It had been 2 days. It's just way too long for him. He needs to be at the day spa. It gives him strength to go another 2 days before his next trip to the day spa. I am going to handle this show by myself. So you're in for well, some might consider a treat. Some might have turned off their radio already. The Lakers lost to the Golden State Warriors, and I'm going to talk about the small scale stuff, why I thought it was impressive that they stuck in there the way that they did. Then we're going to get into some individual stuff. Lonzo continues to struggle from the floor. Isaiah Thomas and Julius Randle apparently had a bit of a kerfluffle that extended into a timeout. And then I'm going to, if we have time, I'll get to some more Julius Randle stuff. I would have liked to seen something tonight that we didn't get to see, unfortunately. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at I Never Come to Work. Let's get into the game, though. The Lakers, look, they're missing Brandon Ingram, arguably their best all-around player. They're missing Kyle Kuzma, arguably their best pure scorer. They're missing Josh Hart, who would have been useful in a game like tonight. Just his defense, his perimeter defense. The Lakers were struggling to keep anybody in front of them, and they were definitely struggling to tap on rotations and stuff. That's the kind of stuff that Josh Hart does well. And you know, and anytime you have guys like Derek Williams playing, Alex Caruso playing, Tyler Ennis played a little bit tonight, Travis Ware continues to play, Zubats came in, you have a bunch of guys who haven't really played together before, and you could kind of notice it, especially defensively, that they couldn't quite figure out rotations quickly enough. And if there's a team that you don't want to have those things going on against, even if they're shorthanded, it's the Golden State Warriors at Golden State on the second night of a back-to-back. So the fact that the Lakers were within, you know, there was a couple moments where I believe they even had the lead when the game was in the 50s at one point. Either that or they were tied. But the game never really got out of hand. It was one of those nine-point leads that felt like 19, granted, but they did show out fairly well. I mean, you have performances like Julius Randle's 22-10 on 8-10 shooting. You have Brooke Lopez going 20-6 with 5 blocks on 8-15 shooting. Isaiah Thomas, who was injected into the starting lineup, goes for 20 points and 7 assists on 6-14 shooting. And then from there, it gets kind of ugly. Lonzo Ball goes 3-11 for 8 points. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope played definitely his worst game since that whole jail situation, going 4 of 13 for 13 points. And look, I mean, it's just, again, the Lakers as a squad rely on energy. They rely on pace. They rely on some rhythm, especially in transition, to even be as frankly mediocre as they are on a night-by-night basis. And when you don't have guys who usually play big minutes, then you're kind of screwed. There's nothing you can really do. And so, you know, the Golden State Warriors, and yes, they didn't have Steph, they didn't have Draymond, they didn't have Klay, but they do have KD. and KD is, in my opinion, the second best player in the NBA behind only LeBron. And there are moments where you could kind of make the case for Durant, given how LeBron kind of wanes defensively throughout the year. Durant has been better on that end. And you know, Durant goes for 26 points on 10 of 19 shooting. He struggled from three, but he did get himself six assists. He had five rebounds, a couple steals, a block. And, you know, he's just the best player on the court. There's nothing that the Lakers could really do with him. They had Kentavious Caldwell-Pope guarding him, but you could just see it. When Durant went up to shoot a jumper, even if Caldwell-Pope did everything he could to get as vertical as he could, I'm not positive that Durant could even see Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Durant's a legit 7 feet tall, and he has a quick release at the top of his jump, and Pope is just kind of screwed there. And I thought, you know, if we're getting into the minutia of strategy, especially defensively, maybe you can make an argument that they spent too much time, or KCP spent too much time on an island against Durant. But really, this was not a game that the Lakers were going to win. This was not a scenario that they were going to come out successful with. And so you have to temper your expectations. And for me, the fact that the Lakers, you know, they wind up losing by 11, but it was always in that, you know, kind of ebb and flow between 5 points down to 9 points down to 2 or 3 points down to tie game, and then they would go on a run and they would be down double digits again. But the Lakers, they hung tight. There was no real quitting this one, as evidenced by tempers got a little hot. Isaiah Thomas and Randall got into it a little bit. I'm going to get into that here in a second, as well as Lonzo Ball struggles from the field. There's a trend kind of going on here that might be explained by just him being a rookie, him being a streaky shooter, whatever. But Lonzo has kind of struggled from the field, and he's back to a spot that I didn't want to see him in, and I'll get to that here in a second. So Lonzo goes 3 of 11 from the field. He goes 1 of 8 from three-point range, 1 of 3 from the free throw line, and that's where I'm going to start with the free throw line. In Vegas, and I have been combing the internet for this footage, but in Vegas, he went to the free throw line, and it looked like he was shooting more of a traditional, the ball stays on the right side of his body type of form. And if I remember correctly, now this was a little while back, and we are now almost 70 games into the NBA season. But it looked back then like, okay, that seems like an interesting strategy for a rookie, but it kind of made sense that you don't want the guy to completely rethink his jumper in his first year. That would have been a disaster. But could he maybe tweak it from the free throw line or from mid-range? That I thought was feasible, and he was doing that in summer league, and honestly, it looked okay. This is the thing that people are kind of missing out on when he shoots, and this is tough doing this over an audio format, but when he shoots it, everybody points immediately to, wow, the ball goes all the way over to beyond his left shoulder in order to get enough leverage to shoot it from deep. And that's exactly what he's doing. That when you watch Steph Curry shoot, he shoots it from lower on his body than somebody who is bigger than he is, because it enables him to fire the ball up there a little further. It gives him a little additional leverage. And what you see with Lonzo, that's what he's kind of doing. He, in high school and in college, was pulling from NBA range, and that's because he was able to do that because he had that kind of catapult motion from the other side of his body. What that does, though, is that makes it tough for you to put touch from mid-range and in this case from the free throw line. So Lonzo was shooting under 50% from the free throw line on the season, and maybe it just gets cleaned up with more reps in the offseason over the summer. But personally, what I would prefer is that he goes and rethinks and gets back to the way he was shooting it in summer league. And it was kind of odd that he had success in summer league and then came to the season and decided that wasn't the way he was going to go. It reminds me a little bit of what's kind of gone on with Markelle Fultz, in that he was a good shooter in college, shot pretty well from the field in summer league. And then between summer league and training camp, I don't know what happened. He decided he was going to rethink his shot. And some will say that he hurt his shoulder. Others will say that he got the yips. But no matter what it was, he tried to tweak something that I didn't think necessarily needed tweaking. Lonzo, to me, tweaked something back to a way that he was shooting that I don't quite get from the free throw line. The thing with the free throw is, and here's where the best free throw shooters, like there's a reason Jason Kidd used to blow a kiss to the camera when he used to shoot free throws. And it's back then, I believe his explanation for it was to blow a kiss to his wife. But he did that for a rhythm. It was a version of repetition that he relied upon to be a good free throw shooter. There are other guys who would rub their face. I forget who it was who used to do that. I want to say it was Nash, maybe, or Page. I forget who it was, but there was another good free. Oh, maybe it was Hornacek. I think it was Jeff Hornacek who used to do that, and he would rub his face. And, you know, he would say that it was for extra grip on the basketball, but you do that kind of thing. You set that kind of habit in order to have some version of repetition that you could rely upon shot in, shot out from the free throw line. And my concern with Lonzo's free throw is that at the free throw line, you can limit the amount of movement that you have all over your body. It's like, you know, some coaches will tell some players, and I don't believe in this, but some coaches will tell some players to start with the ball at their chest and learn to shoot free throws like that because theoretically you have a little bit less motion in it. I always preferred to start with the ball at my waist. That's how Kobe used to kind of shoot his free throws. He would take 1, 2, 3 dribble, inhale, exhale, and then shoot the ball from his waist up through his body. And he had that repetition there. And my concern with Lonzo is that when you, from such a short distance, release the ball at, in my opinion, too quick a rate and do so with too many moving parts on the wrong side of your body, it's impossible to get the type of repetition that you need to be a good free throw shooter. And from there, everything kind of falls apart because you always hear it from scorers. You hear them say, all right, I need to be if my shot isn't quite falling, I need to get to the rim, and getting to the rim would enable me to get to the free throw line, and getting to the free throw line would give me some kind of rhythm, and I would build off of that rhythm to try to get myself back into some type of shooting rhythm as the game goes along, right? And there's a trend, and this is what the larger point that I was going to get to regarding ball. There's a trend here when he dribbles to the basket that a little too often he is looking to pass. He's looking to force things that aren't necessarily there. And my theory on it is that it seems to me like he doesn't want to get fouled up there. He shies away from contact or he passes the ball altogether into spots that there isn't an angle because the defense at this point is playing him to pass. And that forces, it might be a little too intrinsic. It might be too deeply thinking over this, but when you're a sub 50% shooter, that's a place that you want to stay away from as much as possible because all eyes are on you. And it's about as weak as a professional player is going to feel that you're doing something that is literally labeled free and you aren't able to do it because you aren't good at it. And so I kind of wonder if that sets the snowball rolling on the rest of Lonzo's game. So he continues to, you know, he shot 1 of 8 from 3-point range tonight. His shot selection hasn't been great. It almost looks to me like he's forcing a shot for the sake of shooting and not necessarily to get a good shot off. So he's going to have to rethink a couple things over the next few games, and the Lakers fortunately have a day off tomorrow, and so maybe he'll look at the film and see some of the things that maybe I and others are noticing as well. On the other side of the break, I am going to talk about Isaiah Thomas and Julius Randle's little back and forth that they had. I don't think it's anything huge, but. You know, it might be something to keep in the back of your mind, and I'll explain why here in a second. So there was a play where Julius Randle got fouled driving from the left wing. He got fouled and then fired a pass over to Brooke Lopez. And, you know, usually when you get fouled, you do whatever you can to get the ball up on the rim for the chance of an and one, especially in the NBA where you have continuation, right? And so at first I thought Thomas was saying that kind of thing to Randall, right? That, dude, you just got to get the ball up on the rim. And then I don't know if maybe if Randall maybe snapped back and Isaiah Thomas wasn't thinking of it, but that conversation stretched over not just that possession, but the following that one, and then into the timeout as they were walking to after Luke called timeout. And during that timeout, cameras caught Isaiah and Randall jawing at each other to the point where they needed to be separated, right? And so, first and foremost, look, these guys play now, not in Isaiah's case because he was acquired mid-season, but these guys play 82 games together. They practice with each other. They see each other almost 7 days a week for 5 or 6 months out of their year, maybe even longer. And you know, you hear it from rock singers all the time that it is tough to see the same people over and over and over again who are not your family. And in some cases, you see those people more than your actual family. And so that tends to wear on you a little bit. And so conversations that usually are just a typical back and forth that doesn't matter and it's a very pedestrian exercise, that can kind of escalate a little bit because, frankly, you get sick of somebody who you are forced to be with professionally that you wouldn't choose to be with away from basketball. And I'm not saying that's what's going on here with Isaiah and Randall. I'm just trying to give some kind of context as to why you see outbursts like this between teammates all the time. And they might, you know, Dwayne Wade and LeBron considered each other brothers, right? They to this day consider each other brothers. And yet you hear those guys talk about their time together on the Heat and they'd have to be separated at practice. They would Mario Chalmers and LeBron James, there's that one situation where LeBron even lunged at him. And now, personally, if I was Mario Chalmers and LeBron James lunged at me, I would piss my pants and assume the fetal position. But Chalmers just stood his ground, and they had that back and forth, and eventually LeBron kind of captured himself, collected himself, and said to Rio in the timeout, the following timeout, "My bad, dude, that's on me. We'll move on," right? And just like tonight, that same exact thing happened where a couple timeouts later, a few times up and back later, either I don't know who it was. I believe it was Isaiah who kind of reached out to Randall and said, "Dude, my bad. I could have expressed myself better," whatever he said. But the two ended the game on decent terms, right? And now the one place where I will say, though, that this is worth keeping a bit of an eye on is with Isaiah Thomas, because he does have a bit of a history. I have friends who cover the Sacramento Kings who said that he would sometimes rub teammates the wrong way with his tone. Boogie, for example, he would kind of, Boogie and his friends didn't necessarily see eye to eye, no pun intended, although I'll take credit for the pun if you give it to me. They didn't see eye to eye with Isaiah Thomas, not just in the message itself, but in the way the message was delivered consistently. And then in Phoenix, you had the same kind of thing where Isaiah was one of, I believe it was 37 different point guards that they had on that team. It seems illegal according to the CBA, but they had 37 point guards there. And again, Isaiah's tone would sometimes rub guys the wrong way, and that led to exchanges like you saw tonight between him and Randall. And now, again, I am not blaming Thomas. I'm not willing to go there. I wasn't there for the whole thing. There was no audio of what's going on. The guys, I don't believe to this point, have mentioned anything about the exchange. I'm looking through the coverage, the post-game coverage here, and it doesn't look like it. But they had their exchange. They went back and forth. And it didn't appear to be anything that's going to last any longer. And look, the other thing to take into account here is that I don't believe Isaiah Thomas is going to be a Laker pass this year. So why make anything more than it necessarily has to be? While I have a couple minutes here, I want to again give Julius Randle credit. 22 points on 10 field goal attempts is pretty impressive. He goes 6 of 9 from the free throw line, 10 rebounds, a couple assists, a steal, and he did wind up fouling out. I thought that had more to do with exhaustion than anything. The dude plays really, really hard. But one thing I was kind of hoping, and it'd be interesting to see what Luke says about this, if he does talk about it, but I was kind of hoping to see some possessions where Randall would switch off onto KD, especially in like a big possession late where KD needed to get a bucket. Not because I'm cruel or anything, and because guarding Kevin Durant on the perimeter is basically cruel and unusual punishment, but because I want to continue to see what Randall is capable of in those kind of situations. It's why it was such a bummer that Kuzma and Hart and Ingram were out, because and frankly, it was a bummer that Steph and Draymond and Clay were out, because I want to see these guys go at it against each other and really see what the Lakers are capable of at full strength. It doesn't appear that the Lakers are going to be at full strength for the rest of the year, as Josh Hart is probably out for the year after the surgery, and Kyle Kuzma, we're waiting for an update there, but his ankle turned the other way from the traditional ankle sprain that you usually see. So we'll see if that holds him out a little bit longer than usual. But getting back to the point at hand here with Julius Randle and Kevin Durant, there are very few players in the NBA who I would trust switched off against Kevin Durant or LeBron or who have you, right? Let alone guys who can do that and also defend the rim and also box out somebody as big as, say, Andre Drummond or, you know, whoever the big is that he has to go against that night. But on a game like tonight, and now again, I think maybe Luke maybe avoided it because of the fatigue that goes into playing the second night of a back-to-back after a long game the night before that went down to the stretch. And that would make sense. But it was something I was kind of hoping to see that we didn't get to. And I believe that's the last time. Yeah, this is the last time that the Lakers will play Golden State this year. So we won't get to see it until next year, hopefully, so long as Randall is still a Laker. It would have been cool to see. We didn't get to see it, but still, he plays really well, and all of the Lakers, in my opinion, played really well despite being shorthanded on the second night of a back-to-back after a tough game the night before. Hope the Lakers get their rest. You guys get your rest of of my voice. I get to rest my voice. I'm not used to talking this long. Harrison and I will be back at it again tomorrow to discuss something. Maybe we'll get into a mailbag. Send your questions to the iTunes review in the form of a 5-star review. Oh, and the other thing too, if you see a negative review that you find unfair, if you just hit the "this is not useful" button, that does everybody a favor. This is all so that Harrison and I can continue to provide you guys this type of content on a daily basis. It takes a huge commitment from quite a few people to keep Harrison and I on the airwaves like this. Well, me on the airwaves like this, Harrison every other day or so. But yeah, if you could do all that stuff, maybe Harrison and I will get into a mailbag tomorrow. You guys enjoy your night. Lakers fall to the Golden State Warriors 117-106. Be good, everybody.